Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, something we like to call the Hagman Report. Investigators in search of the truth, and we are in search of the truth, nothing more. Look, we're not professional talk show hosts. We're investigators. I'm an investigator of 30 years, just searching for the truth to deliver it to you. Simple as that. Folks, don't forget, a week from this Friday, that's right, a week from this Friday, I believe it is, right? Because I've been working furiously on some final touches on my presentation, two presentations actually, for Awaken to the Shaken, courtroom ready exhibits for two topics, the larger aspect of Pedigate, which is just, when I went through the material I've got, folks, understand, this is true. Okay, all of it is true. You've got to understand. And maybe, anyone who says it's not is not, or is not being truthful.
And maybe if the higher ups ever are taken to court, they could use your presentation as evidence.
Actually, yeah. Trust me when I tell you that the documentation that has been assembled will be in the hands of the people who are should be in charge of executing the investigation. Now, having said that. And much of it is already, but this is just a lay-down type of a report. Waking to the Shaken. So if you haven't registered, that's May 5th and 6th in Gurnee, Illinois, just north of Chicago, please do so. And the other part of that presentation is going to be the Islamic infiltration and the Muslim training, paramilitary training across the United States, which exists in this country. I've got photographs, of course, and I've got evidence to show you. So I'm going to show you at the conference. That's Gurnee, Illinois, May 5th and 6th, just north of Chicago. If you're within a day's drive, I'd highly recommend it. Register and come on down. If you don't like it, you'll get your money back for the tickets, for the registration. You like how I said that? Okay, it's free. It's free. Go to paulbaileyprophecy.com or go to hagmanreport.com and click on the link to Awaken to the Shaken. We really hope to see you there. Really, really do. I know we put in hours upon hours. And I was talking to Russ Dizdar last week and the weekend, and he's, believe me when I tell you, it's going to be, just seeing Russ is going to be worth it. Also, ready-made resources, folks, ready-made resources. The place to go if you need night vision equipment. Oh, they've got the best of the best. If you need communications, because folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't think we're in for rough times, you're not paying attention. The place to go, ready-made resources, the alternative energy. They've got, night vision. And if you don't have night vision, you're going to be at a severe disadvantage. Communications, alternative communications in terms of like walkie-talkie type things, but not the kind you buy in Walmart. And, food, long-term storable food. They've got it all. Bob Griswold is the guy. And we believe in this company 100%. ReadyMadeResources.com. That's ReadyMadeResources.com. One more time, ReadyMadeResources.com, and let them know you heard them on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Yeah, we got a fantastic guest this hour. We are joined by Pastor Greg Hammond, and we're going to get into a number of important issues today. Mr. Hammond, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to bring you on and let you introduce yourself to the audience and tell them a little bit about yourself and about your ministry, and then we will get rocking and rolling with the interview.
All right, sounds good. Well, just a little bit about myself. I was a school teacher, high school teacher, for 17 years before I switched careers and went into ministry. And I went into campus ministry working with college students, which is a ripe age. You know, they're very impressionable, and you know, they're for the first time away from home and thinking through things themselves instead of just going along with what their parents have said. So, you know, they get on the university campus and anything can happen to them spiritually and otherwise. And so, you know, felt led to go there, and I've been ministering there for like 18 or 19 years now. In the process of that, I helped plant the church that I'm now pastoring. But I've always had, you know, most of my life, and it's because I've got into a couple situations over the years where, you know, I saw New Age type of teachings coming into the church and skewing the truth, and have locked horns with people over the years. And And so I just really have a heart for just, you know, like you guys are, being a watchman and trying to protect the church and God's truth from Satan's lie. So I've been doing this for a long time. I started Be Alert Ministry, which is kind of a side thing for me, probably about 3-4 years ago when my first book came out, Mystic Seduction, which is about, you know, the church being seduced by pagan religion, basically, you know. And you look in the Old Testament how God when the Israelites chased after the Canaanite gods, it was like, you know, prostitution. And so that's why I named it Mystic Seduction. The church is being seduced. And so that book was about protecting the church. And then I wrote the second book that I wrote, A Global Utopia, which is kind of what we're going to be touching on tonight, some of the things from it. And that came primarily out of the fact that when my first book came out, you know, I think people were kind of still having trouble grasping some of these ideas. The church is, in a lot of ways, I'm afraid, sort of asleep on this stuff. But anyway, so I wanted to kind of frame what was going on in the church, what's going on in a larger spectrum, you know, in the world, as far as the move towards a one world government, one world religion. So I tried to talk about different things going on in the world and help to frame that with the spiritual part of it, which I think is the most critical part, obviously.
Interesting. And I like the view. I like what you're doing here. What you're doing is kind of giving us the bigger picture view, assessment, battle assessment, triaging what's going on. So we're big picture kind of guys, at least I am. Mm-hmm. And so you can see, and you know, when you get right down to it, this is a battle between good and evil. This is a larger battle that we're involved in, and a lot of people tend to just, you know, think microcosmically, if you will, and mm-hmm. see only what's in front of them. So the good stuff, okay. So having said that, how do we lay this out? I mean, how would you lay this out with all the things that are going on? Where do you want to start, I guess, is the question, to describe what you said.
Sure, yeah. Well, I named the book Global Utopia because obviously I think the whole one world government thing is man's desire for utopia, you know, the perfect place to live. And of course, you know, utopia really means no place or nowhere, because that's impossible for us to achieve in the world the way it is. But I think the idea of utopia really, it comes from the Garden of Eden. You know, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, he put the perfect people in the perfect world. Everything was perfect. But of course, we know the fall took place, and now man is living in an imperfect world. Yet I think he still has, you know, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says man has eternity in his heart. God set that there. And so I know man knows that he was made for the perfect place to live, but he no longer lives there. Now the problem is that we know as believers in Jesus Christ that there's going to be a utopia one of these days. It's called Christ's millennial reign. And when he returns, he's going to reestablish everything the way it originally was. We are going to live in that perfect world. But for unregenerate man, he still desires utopia. So now he's trying to achieve it on his own terms. And so what we get is a mess, basically. And all the things that my book really talks about. And so, you know, it's an impossible task for man, but I think what this one world government is pushing towards is trying to establish, you know, a heaven on earth from man's perspective. And, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And my goodness, the number of ways that the utopia is, you know, one thing that when you just said that, one thing that, came to my mind, and it's an obscure reference, was a clip of Walter Cronkite, and he's getting an award with Hillary Clinton's there talking, and then he comes up and he's given an award, and he talks about the New World Order, and he mentions Pat Robertson. He says, Pat Robertson says any attempt to bring about a New World Order or one world government before the millennial reign is the work of Satan. So join me as I sit at the right hand of Satan, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he laughs about it. And you're mm-hmm. exactly right. You know, all the things that we see going on, you know, with CERN, with this, you know, push to globalize the world, to bring in a one world religious political and economic system.
Well, Joe, if I can just interject this, because sure. Greg does, and folks, his book, Global Utopia, is available on Amazon, and the subtitle is 12 Features of the New World Order. Maybe all the features or all the things that you're saying, Greg, I mean, I'm sure you address those, or at least at the periphery, encompassing everything that's going on, right? In your book. Okay.
Yeah, I try to, you know, I mean, there's probably more than 12 features, you
right.
know,
yeah.
you break down, it'd be, you know, thousands of them probably, but I try to simplify it and have the 12 basic things that I saw, you know, were necessary for things to be in place. And I think you see things happening in the world in all those areas that are moving us that direction.
Okay. All right. So having said that, you want to kind of give us insight into the 12 features as they apply to what you're seeing today, or you want to take today and apply it to what you've written about in Global Utopia, or you want to take a different tack altogether?
Well, what I kind of wanted to do, you know, like I said, I wanted to make the spiritual part of it, the because I think, you know, that's really the big issue. You know, when you think about, you know, you read in Revelation about this, you know, coming one world government of the Antichrist, and you know, he's going to have a government similar to, you know, probably any dictatorship you could talk about in the 20th century. It's going to be very similar to that. But, you know, he's going to have people helping him. He's going to have his minister of defense and all these different positions. But what's interesting in the book of Revelation is the only advisor or minister that's really talked about that's going to be helping him is the false prophet, who is going to be the head of the one world government. And so what that tells me, at least, is that the religious aspect, the spiritual aspect, is the big issue. And when you look at historically, and I think it would make sense, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that cause bloodshed and wars over the course of history, but religious differences are some of the biggest. I mean, you can talk about the Crusades, you can talk about the Hindu, Muslim problems in the Indian subcontinent, which is, you know, resulted in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India, three separate nations, or Northern Ireland, or the Jewish, Arab problems in the Middle East. So, you know, those are huge problems, and those are things, you know, values that people hold, their internal values that, you know, you can try to modify the way people act and think on the outside, but you, on the inside, it's hard to change their thinking. And so, what I see here is, unless something happens to modify people's spiritual thinking to bring them in line with one another, whether you're Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, or whatever, bring yourselves all in line to an agreement where not only are you just agreeing to peacefully coexist, because that's kind of an external thing, but actually internally agree that you're all spiritually the same, you're going to have potential for problems and bloodshed just like we've always had. And so, you know, I see this as a huge issue, and obviously it's the spiritual issues is an issue anyway, because, you know, that's dealing with the eternal destiny of man. And so that's kind of, you know, the main thing that I was really wanting to touch on tonight.
Okay. And that's at the core. I mean, that's really at the epicenter of everything. And we were lied to, Mr. Hammond. We were lied to that we all worship the same God. Muslims, Jews, Christians, mm-hmm. we don't all worship the same God.
No.
So,
no.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and talking about this, you know, like I say, with the whole world peace thing, I mean, you know, the peace is critical. I mean, everybody wants peace, and the world has to do something in order to get peace for this one world government to come together. And I think, you know, once again, like I say, the issue of the spiritual is at the core, the key. And, what I see, you know, when I look at the spiritual groundwork or whatever of the world, you know, I see, you know, all these different religions that are contradicting one another. And the question is how can all these religions, you know, come together and be one? And what I see, and, you know, different people could disagree, but I think when you look, and you have to actually go all the way back to the fall in the Garden of Eden, and actually it precedes that, when you have to go back to the first actual act of sin in all of creation, which we know was when Satan rebelled against God Almighty and tried to usurp his authority and take God's place. And of course we know that the Bible tells us he was cast out of hell along with, out of heaven with, roughly one third of the angels who followed him. And so the first sin or act against God was this idea of usurping God or taking God's place. Well, Satan winds up in the Garden of Eden and he tempts Adam and Eve. And of course, what does he tempt them with? Well, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will become like God. And so the first sin of man is this idea of trying to become like God. And so what I see as the ultimate goal spiritually of this one world government is for man to be viewed as God. And if you jump ahead to the end times, you know, we know that the temple in Jerusalem, the third temple, is going to be rebuilt one day, because we know that the abomination of desolation, you know, the image of the Antichrist is going to be set up in there, and it's going to be the image of a man worshipped as God. And so things have to be happening. The people of the world spiritually have to be indoctrinated in some way in order to accept the fact that a man can be God. And I think that what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to accept that they're God as well. And I think really where we're heading is that the idea that everything that is God, which is basically Hinduism or the New Age movement, that everything that is God. And, you know, what they call that is, you know, there's really two spiritual views of creation. You know, one is the idea of dualism. In other words, there's a God, a creator, who's separate from his creation, who's always existed, he's never not existed, and he called creation into being. Creation's not eternal; it owes its existence to the creator, but they're totally separate. Then you have this other view, you know, paganism, basically, where they're one and the same, where creation is God. And that's Hinduism. And I believe that's where we're ultimately heading. And if you look at things that are going on, what the UN's promoting and some of the other stuff, I think, you know, that's where we're heading. I think that's why it's going to be possible for, you know, the Antichrist to be worshipped as God.
I see transhumanism playing a role in this.
Yeah.
You're looking at apotheosis, right? Which is the elevation of people to divine status across the board.
Right.
And so some of this, and I believe this to be true, some of this is to, in my view, to avoid judgment, you know, the eternal law, live
sure.
forever and avoid judgment.
Sure.
But anyway, so back to your premise, and I agree with you. They're going to have to outlaw, dilute, or pervert much more than they already have the major monotheistic religions, that being Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
Yeah, those have to go. And here's what's going to, I think, is going to happen. And once again, you know, different people have different opinions, but if you look at most of the major religions of the world, you know, I mean, Hinduism, Buddhism, what are you going to talk about? You know, they're pagan religions, which don't have a problem with, you know, they have a problem with a lot of things, you know, very syncretistic thinking, you know, and, you know, contradictions don't really mean anything. But when you look at Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, the theistic religions, they present a huge problem for the one world government, and that's because in all three cases they view the creator as separate from the creation, even though, as we know, the creator in Islam is not the same as the creator in Christianity. But they have that basic concept. So until everybody agrees that man is divine and all creation is divine, see, and this is what's behind, you know, everything, you know, what do you want to talk about, the Greenpeace or the Sierra, you know, all these, the ecology movement, you know, that, you know, you can't, animal rights activists, you know, everything has equal value because everything's divine. But what has to happen is those three religions have to either be modified or destroyed. And I think that what we see in the world going on today is a modification. and what I call it, capturing these religions, the false prophets religions wants to capture them by making them like theirs, you know, these points that are contradictory, just to erase them or just ignore them or whatever you want to do. But basically, you know, to capture them and make them like paganism. And so, you know, that's what I see going on. And if you look in all three of those religions, in my first book, Mystic Seduction, my premise was that mysticism and mystical thinking, transcendental meditation, all those types of things are the key to get people to understand and believe that they are God and everything is divine. And so what we see is we know that there's a Christian mysticism that's on the rise today. I mean, true. You know, and it's really Gnosticism from the first and second century reborn. It never really went away. But interestingly, you also see, this mysticism in Judaism is called Kabbalah. And, you know, it's a mystic view of creation. And likewise, you see it in Islam, it's Sufism. And interestingly, when you look at what each of those three mystical traditions believe, they're like eerily the same. They almost, you can almost like superimpose them over one another, and they're virtually identical. And what they basically teach is that reality, I mean, this is Hinduism, is that reality has shattered into thousands of pieces, just like if you took a bottle or a jar and smashed it on the floor. And so what has to happen in order for everything to come back together is all these pieces or shards have to join back together into the one that is God. Everything's God. And the method of doing this is mystical practices, you know, for the realization, you know, that you're God. That's why, you know, transcendental meditation, it's the idea of I can discover through various mystical practices that, well, I'm divine, and therefore right. I'm okay.
Yeah, and you can throw yoga in there. You can throw and even the you know, use of psychotropic drugs. So okay, but the mechanics.
The Beatles did that.
Yeah. And isn't it funny that not funny, but interesting that all of the back in the 60s, where the Beatles and the Monkees and all the groups really had their origins in Laurel Canyon, Lookout Mountain, CIA kind of, you know, operations, military industrial complex. But how do you see the mechanics of this playing out? I mean, how do you do that? Is there an event, a series of events, aside from the softening?
Yeah.
You know, is there going to be something else?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, first of all, you mean, you know, hardline doctrine of any belief's gotta be jettisoned, you know, I mean, and what needs to be promoted is syncretistic relative thinking. And first of all, you know, the younger generations are definitely kind of there, you know, postmodern thinking, you know, that there's no absolute truth at all. Everything's relative. And so if you can adjust your thinking to that, you know, then, you know, being presented with hard facts really means nothing, because you can just dismiss it and go on your merry way. But but I see this infiltrating, you know, like with Christianity, it's infiltrating into the church. Just these concepts, these ideas. I mean, and we can see, you know, like, you know, the stances that a lot of your denominations are taking on the transgender, homosexual, you know, issues, or biblical authority, the Bible. You know, I've written a smaller book, you know, called Emerging Apostasy, which is about deconstructing truth, certainty, and biblical authority. And so they're just reinterpreting scripture however they want it, and the parts they don't like, they ignore, and they twist it around and make it say what they want to say. I mean, yeah. And just to give you a quick example, you know, it's like, I don't know whether you guys are familiar with the Emergent Village, but, like pastors, you know, like Rob Bell, I think is part of that, but like they came out of the Emerging Church movement, but basically, you know, they're very postmodern in their thinking. In fact, when those guys got together, and I think there's one lady there, but, you know, their guiding force in rethinking about what Christianity really was was a Jacques Derrida, you know, who's a, you know, kind of father of postmodernism in a way. And so when you think about, okay, someone who's a Christian who's trying to basically rewrite Christianity, and that's their guiding force, you see what you're going to get.
No, you're absolutely right. Folks, our guest this hour is Pastor Greg Hammond, and we're talking about a number of issues pertaining to the New World Order. But, you know, we've talked in the show a lot about the one world religion, the one world monetary system, the one world society, and the different facets they are going to use to bring it about. And one of the most important, at least for our listeners, is how they are infiltrating the church, how they are bringing about a one world faith, a one world religious movement, and how, what that will look like as they bring it about, and how it will look like when it is in place. And what does that mean for each and every Bible believing Christian who will not waver in their faith in order to, you know, become part of this global society, who will not, give up or turn away from the Lord in order to conform to the world. And we're going to continue to get into some of the more important spiritual aspects after these short messages. Folks, again, we're talking with Pastor Gary Hammond, and when we come back, we're going to continue to get into these in detail. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changecoastalwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Justice Greg Hammond. He's a very prolific author. If you go to his Amazon page, Greg Hammond on Amazon, just do a search or you'll find it. Or it's go to HagmanReport.com, the program description linked directly to that as works. Again, a very prolific author. Before we get back to Mr. Hammond, TradingPostInTheWoods.com. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, American Heritage Remedies Kit. Man, every day that goes by, I'm a bigger believer in this kit. In all of the products at Trading Post in the Woods, if you are, and let me tell you something, if you're without a pharmacy nearby, or without a doctor or a nurse, or even if you have one nearby, I don't care. This stuff is the homeopathic, tinctures and such that they've got, they work. Go to TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Again, TradingPostInTheWoods.com. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. You've got to get this as an addition to your pantry. Preps, unbelievable. TradingPostInTheWoods.com. And by the way, mention HagmanReport.com in the checkout and feel free to contact them. They'll answer any question you have. But from sinus problems to headaches to pain, to, you name it, TradingPostInTheWoods.com. That's TradingPostInTheWoods.com.
Our guest this hour is Pastor Greg Hammond, and his website is BeAlertMinistry.com, which is under construction at the moment. But write it down, save it, and bookmark it. And there's a wealth of information there. Greg, as you said, he's a prolific author. The books and everything are there. Let's get right into this. The indoctrination of a society. This nation.
Spiritual evolution, too.
Yep. Yeah. Our nation, with the, you know, increases of technology, whether it be press, radio, TV, film, the internet, there's a wealth of knowledge out there. And at the same time, many people still identify as Christians. And we've seen this, this move in the last few generations for people to become more tech friendly, more tech savvy. And as we've seen the information explode, we've seen a number of different possibilities and theories thrown out there. We don't have to get into all of them. One that people talk about a lot is the Ancient Alien show that's on TV, where they take all the biblical principles and remove God from the equation and add aliens, as though there are gods. Let's get into how children are being indoctrinated for this new utopian society that they want to roll out, this new world order.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, first of all, it's interesting you made the comment about aliens. I think what that shows you, because, you know, that's, you think about that, it's like, that's ludicrous. How could somebody believe that? But, you know, it shows us how wily the enemy is. And he does not care what a person believes, no matter how believable it is or how outlandish it is. As long as you're not believing the truth, then he's fine with it, you know. So that's amazing. But what's going on, I think, you know, is the enemy, there's this concept of spiritual evolution. And I think, you know, this idea that man is evolving into a higher form and basically moving towards God. And of course, in the New Age thinking Hinduism, you know, you're going to get countless chances because you're going to keep coming back because you never go away because you're God and everything's God. But this process is going on and it's slow. And I think the reason why it's kind of like the frog in the pan analogy, you know, where you put a pot of water on the stove and throw the frog in it and turn the heat up and he keeps adjusting his body to the rising temperatures until he scalds himself to death. And that's kind of what is going on spiritually. And the reason why I think that's happening is because if the enemy makes a change that's too abrupt, it'll shock people and they'll react to that. But if you just slowly add a little bit of time, you know, a little leavening, leavens the whole lump, you know, as the Bible says, then, you know, they can be, you know, deceived and led away. And I think basically, you know, a key element to that is indoctrinating or educating people. Especially children. I think, you know, children and teenagers are very susceptible to postmodern thinking. And I think when I see, you know, one of the keys to this is education. And when we talk about a one world government. You know, they're driving towards a uniform global educational system that'll teach their ethics and their values. And who we see pushing this, of course, is the United Nations. And you know, if you go back, and he's since deceased, but Robert Mueller, who was the former Assistant Secretary General of the UN, really pushed for this, which is now becoming a reality, this worldwide educational system. But what people don't understand about him is he was a student of the occult. His mentor was the occultist Alice Bailey. And anybody that's read anything about Alice Bailey knows that she channeled a spirit guide, an avatar, whatever you want to call it. I call them demons, but that identified himself as the Tibetan over a 30-year period. And this Tibetan spirit guide, his message to her, he told her a lot over a 30-year span of time, but one of the things he told her was there would be a group of world servers or world leaders whose goal was to unite the world and basically bring the Antichrist to power. And he told Bailey, who then, you know, Mueller learned this from her, was that one of the key elements how they would gain control was through the world's education system, and that education system should work hand in hand with the media. And of course, and then we're talking years ago, and you know, you look now at the internet and all the ways that we can gain knowledge quickly, and you understand what Daniel meant when he said back in, you know, at the end of the book of Daniel, the knowledge would increase, because it really is. But anyway, and so the Tibetan was teaching her too, you know, that the coming Christ, and he wasn't talking about Jesus Christ, he was talking about the Christ consciousness of the New Age movement, or a Christ, because they believe that anybody can actually become a Christ. But this coming Christ would teach that all religions were really one. And so my point here is that this world educational system disguises itself as trying to help kids to learn better, to be better global citizens and take part in what's going on around the world. But its main goal is to promote a uniform global ethic. And it's going to promote a new version of Christianity. And Mueller, his system that he introduced into the United Nations was known as the World Core Curriculum. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, but it's been adopted in most nations around the world as the basis for their educational systems. And here in the United States, it's known as Common Core. You've probably heard of that.
Absolutely.
And,
yep.
Yeah. And so, this started back in the George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton administration started this educational system. It was started out being called America 2000, and then it was changed, I think. I'm not sure which administration changed the name to Goals 2000. Now they changed it to Common Core, and they're probably going to change it to something else, because what happens is when people get on to what they're really doing, they change the name to try to throw them off the trail. But what it does, and I'm going to get to how this relates to the spiritual things, what it does is it teaches the kids through various ways. It teaches them not only what to think, but how to think. And when you look at, you know, when you get into things like philosophy and stuff, you know, that what they're teaching is relativism. There's really no right or wrong answers to anything. Does this in a clandestine way. And the main goal is to employ this relativistic thinking to spiritual truth. And that's where their aim is, because they realize that there has to be a one world religion or the whole thing is going to fall apart. And so they're indoctrinating kids, without even realizing it, to think a certain way and to think about things in a certain way and then apply that to spiritual truth.
And what's
I'll stop there, because I can keep going. So,
and you know what's really interesting is and scary is not only the curriculum that they're indoctrinating children with in the public schools, but what the government is now doing to people who homeschool. Mm-hmm. You know, through the vaccines, through even curriculum, they are, you know, saying that parents are basically abusing their children by not teaching them the curriculum that the school demands that they teach. And then taking it a step further, in many schools and over, you know, the last decade, we've seen, the Bible, the word Jesus and prayer be completely removed from school and after school. Even prayers during the football games for the school teams are being removed. Yet at the same time, they are allowing, you know, this perverted other message to get through. You know, they got to teach the LGBTQ tolerance, and they, you know, one of the recent ones was queer therapy for kindergartners, and they're allowing in certain schools with a lot of these refugees to bring Muslim prayer into school, and they're actually preaching or teaching you know, acceptance of Islam, the religion, in schools. It's completely hypocritical just absolutely completely damaging to the children, when especially when they're, you know, saying you can't teach about religion except, you know, this religion, which is not the religion of our country. And, you know, those are just a few things that we see in the schools that are ongoing. And there's a push, you know, in society, you know, to remove Jesus and any morality, away, under the guise of, you know, political correctness, if that makes any sense.
Right. Well, and let me just read, I got a quote here. This is from Mary Jo Anderson's article. It's entitled Common Core Goes Global. You know, she hits the nail on the head, but this is what she said about it. She said, a similar sentiment permeates other Common Core aligned texts. Concepts found in grade school children's textbooks, such as justice and equality, are given politically biased meanings. Justice is newly defined to mean the redistribution of wealth and resources. Equality is used to dismantle preference for one's own culture, religion, and social customs. And she hits nail right on the head, because what they're doing is they're redefining words.
Yep.
And you know, and making them mean something other than what they really mean. And what they're doing is making them mean what they want it to mean so that it works for them. And, you know, and then when you get into, you're talking about, you know, Christianity and what's going on there, I mean, this is exactly what's happening with the Bible. And that's why I wrote that little book, Emerging Apostasy, is because that's what people are doing with the Bible. They're giving words new meanings and twisting the words and messing with the sentence structure, you know, so that the rules of interpretation are totally changed. And where they're at is they've gone from historical grammatical interpretation of documents, which is what people have historically used to, when you read something, you say, I understand what that means because you're using that method of interpretation. They've gone to what's known as a reader response interpretation, and that is, I read it, whatever it emotionally and experientially means to me in the moment that I read it, that's what it means. And if I read it tomorrow and I get some different idea, then that's what it means tomorrow, even if it contradicts what I believed the day before. So it's scary.
No, it is scary, and it's a complete, you know, as far as the educational system, it's a complete indoctrination school, a prison for the children in their minds. It's not an educational system in the sense that they teach you things that you need to know. They teach you things that they want you to know in the way that they want you to know them, so you best conform and adapt to their system when the time comes. It's about obedience, not about knowledge. And and it's been like that for generations. I mean, even since I was in school. And this is a push towards the, you know, the globalist society. Now, in the time we have left, let's continue to go through some of these, these steps. I mean, the church, we could talk about the church and their indoctrination into the New World Order all day long. The Christians are in an apostasy, if you will, because, we've stopped reading the Bible and taking the Bible and studying it for ourselves, and we've left that and delegated that for a pastor. And we take what the pastor says, and use that for our spiritual nourishment, where we don't need a middleman. But that's a whole nother issue. The church as a whole, the body's a church. I was a member of a Presbyterian church, and I had to leave the church because they decided to accept homosexual marriage as being okay, and allowing homosexual clergy in. And now we see this, you know, this push to, Rome is pushing to, you know, kind of get back with the Protestant churches in this country.
Right.
Do you believe that that the Vatican, the Catholicism, that there will be this ecumenicalism, even with other faiths, to bring about a one-world religious system?
Well, yeah, I definitely believe that, you know, and that's why, I mean, if you go clear back to Vatican II, you know, when that hit, you know, that was to open religious dialogue with the Catholic Church and other religions, and it had a huge impact even on Protestant churches, you know, and I think that, and I think, you know, as you've seen, you know, you go into the late 60s, you know, that whole decade was very, you know, it's a cultural revolution in a lot of ways, but, you started seeing these Protestant denominations that had been historically solid, you know, that began to fall victim to New Age, you know, ideas of, you know, all paths lead to God and we need just all work together and get together. And so I think, you know, there's a, Protestants are falling to this too. And once again, it's, you know, partly the people don't know their Bible and, or they don't revere the Bible as God's word like they should, but nonetheless they're allowing themselves to fall captive. And so, you know, what I see is, you know, the church as a whole is falling away, you know, and believers, individual believers are going to have to stand firm for the truth, because I think, you know, there is an ecumenical movement going on, and it's not just between so-called Christian, you know, denominations, but it's with non-Christian denominations. I know in talking to John on the phone a few days ago, you know, he's talking about, you know, you've been talking a lot about Chrislam, you know, and I think that's a perfect example, you know, how can two diametrically opposed belief systems come together? Well, the only way it can is because people don't hold the word of God, or don't interpret it the way it should be, and or just don't know it. But it, and they have to be employing syncretistic thinking, you know, this idea that contradictions aren't a big issue. So I, you know, it's amazingly, it's happening, and I think it's happening quicker and quicker.
What would you, if anything, what would it take for the majority of congregants to leave the mainstream Christian religion in America, specifically if it's not specifically to those, you know, denominational churches that are not bringing spiritual nourishment? Or do you think that these people who, you know, are well-meaning, well-intended, do believe in God, will go along with what the church tells them to do, whether there's a calamity that brings us to this, you know, one-world system, mm-hmm. or, you know, some other unforeseen event ushers us in, you know, to a point where the churches are saying, you know, come be part of this system, it's okay, even to the point where maybe they're promoting the mark of the beast, we'll say. Mm-hmm. How do you see that unfolding? Do you see the people, I mean, we know that there's going to be a great deception. We know that, mm-hmm. it says, for if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. Mm-hmm. How do you see this playing out with between the churches and the congregations?
Well, that's really hard to say, you know, but I think, you know, we're in a way, we're probably already seeing this, you know, that congregations, you know, they, you know, especially like your larger denominations, they have their yearly meetings, and almost always, you know, some of these issues on homosexuality or whatever you want to talk about, you know, will come up, and they have a vote, and sometimes they get voted down and sometimes they don't. But I think, basically, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, we probably need to understand that it's not going to get easier, and God's truth is truth. And yeah, the easy road would just be say, well, okay, I'll go along with that. I don't really believe it, but I'm going to go ahead and stay in my church. You know, well, my view is that if I'm going to stay in any church that's doing something like that, I'm going to be very active in fighting it tooth and nail, because I think God's going to ask me one of these days why I stayed there. And if I've got a good reason for staying there to stand for his truth, then okay. But if not, you know, then it's time to shake the dust off of your feet and move on. And I think really, unfortunately, especially for the Western world and Americans in particular, we like our comfort. And so that's going to be a big issue, you know. But I think, you know, as believers, we need to dig in our heels and fight tooth and nail, you know, and because we know and ultimately we win. It may look like we're losing, but God's going to evaluate each one of us based upon what we did. And so I think, you know, but yeah, I think, you know, that the people who stand firm for the truth are probably going to be ostracized and isolated, but,
Is this going to be connected to the economy as well, the economic system? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I definitely think it is. I mean, to me, you know, when you look the whole Mark of the Beast thing, you know, and you read in Revelation the way things, you know, worked in ancient times, you know, I think, you know, it's to be active in the economic system of the new world order, you're going to have the Mark of the Beast. And if you don't, you're going to be excluded. I think that's going to be a weapon. Yeah.
Do you think the Antichrist and or the false prophet are alive today?
Well, you know, that's hard to say. You know, I mean, you know, God knows that, but God, we know what God's time frame is. And we don't know. God knows it. So I think it's quite possible, you know, but definitely, whether he is yet or not, definitely things are moving in a direction to where things are going to be in place when he does show up on the scene. But, you know, I would almost have to say maybe he is, simply because things are speeding up, you know, I think towards that.
What's the most important, as you look out over the landscape of the news headlines, the geopolitics, the domestic events, what do you think is the most important news item today, or series of news items, or where do you place your visual analysis at right now? What's got your attention? I guess is the better way of saying it.
That's a good question. I mean, because there's so many things going on, but I would have to say probably it's more. I always tend to look at the spiritual lay of the land, and simply because I think, you know, that's eternal, you know, and that's where the rubber meets the road, and all the other things that we're going to, you know, that are going to happen with the one world government are going to be a spinoff of that. So I would have to say anything that goes on that is a move towards, you know, an ecumenical type movement, bringing all the faiths together, and I've, you know, studied a lot on that, you know, whether you want to talk about Pope Francis and some of the things he's recently talked about, and various world leaders and you know, various, you know, Christian leaders and some of the things they're talking about. Those are the kinds of things that I really zone in on. I mean, the things like in the Middle East with ISIS, I mean, that's obviously an issue, and I actually see that as something that, you know, I could see the world banding together to deal with those guys and what looks like a good solution could wind up to be an even worse solution or worse situation in the end. But that's what I kind of focus on more, is the spiritual things.
Gotcha. All right. Now this is a question that I'm interested in here. You've got Amazon page. You've got 6 books listed mm-hmm. under your name. Somebody new to your work, what order do you recommend? From Emerging Apostasy to Mystic Seduction to Global Utopia, delve into your work. Give us kind of an order.
Well, you know, I wrote Mystic Seduction first because that was my main area. But it's, you know, I have to say, and I tried to write it so that people would understand, because it's not an easy topic to really delve into. It can be kind of twist your mind around quite a bit, but it still is probably kind of a hard read. I think A Global Utopia is a pretty easy read. I think probably more people will be interested in reading that, and probably if they read that and saw the spiritual implications, you know, the things I've talked about with Robert Mueller and what he's, the, you know, the spiritual things that he's been promoting, that might spawn them to say, okay, I want to look more into the spiritual thing, and then maybe dive into Mystic Seduction or Emerging Apostasy. Emerging Apostasy, though, I think it's a short book, and I think people in the church need to read that to understand exactly how the word's being skewed, and just kind of hold their pastors accountable, because, you know, I think the church is slipping because, you know, a lot of times pastors are actually promoting this mystical stuff and they need to be called out on it, and people just aren't doing that because a lot of times they're unaware.
You're absolutely right. We got about a minute and a half before the break, okay. Greg. I think Julian Assange said that if wars can be started by lies, then peace can be brought about through truth. Yeah, and I see here that you talk about the need for world peace, a prerequisite for a one-world society. Do you think that we would need some type of catastrophic attack or calamity to happen before that would usher us into a one-world society, or do you think they could do it through a false truth like aliens or you know, some existential threat that we would never see that could bring us to a one-world society?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, either one could be, but actually it'll probably be both. And the reason why I say that is, you know, I think their minds need to be prepared to accept certain things as true, even though they're not. And we see that going on right now with all the stuff we just talked about. But also, if you look historically, fear and uncertainty are huge motivators. I mean, you go back to the Middle Ages, you know, people were afraid of the Vikings and stuff and roving bands of brigands. And so they were willing to give their freedom and all their possessions to the lords in order to have security and safety. So I could see some major event that would really scare people so much to say, take everything you have, just protect me. They'd say that to the one world government.
Pastor Greg Hammond, thank you so much for joining us. I hope we can have you on in the future.
Love to do that.
It was great to have you on. It was too short. But thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we look forward to talking to you again. God bless you.
I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. God bless you.
We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.